Welcome to Island Baptist Church. Today's Bible study by Dr. Bill Waddell is on Psalm 23, Lesson 9.
You ready for our last study together? All right. Let's pray together, then we're going to say the 23rd Psalm one more time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together. Thank you for the blessings just of fellowship with each other, knowing each other, Lord. Thank you for the honor of being able to be a part of the lives of so many people, wonderful people from so many churches. So many places. What an encouragement it is to know that your gospel is going out, that the different people of different cultures, different backgrounds, different upbringings, but when we all come together, brought together by your Holy Spirit, we all come together in your word, we all come to the same conclusions because we're all led by the same shepherd. Now it's so encouraging to know it's not just us, it's not just something we're coming up with. It is something that you're doing. It is a movement that you're creating here, not just in the Western Hemisphere, but the Southern and the Eastern and the Northern, Lord, everywhere. Everywhere we go, your gospel is going out. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be whatever part we're supposed to play in that. God, help us to be a part of that. Thank you, God, for teaching us, Lord. Open our eyes today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful psalm. Well, we finally come to the last line of Psalm 23. I'm going to direct your eyes all the way down there to the last clause, if you will, of this beautiful song. Remember, David, these are songs. These aren't poems. These were set to music, played by David himself originally. Personal psalms. Most I can tell, David writes these things, at least as he writes them, with no intention of sharing them with anybody. Not that he was against it, but this is his personal, you're reading his personal quiet time. And David, this is the way he worshiped God. This is his connection with God. David was a musician above everything else. We think of him as a warrior. That's who he had to be. We think of him as a leader. That's who he had to be. But who he was from youth was a musician. He loved music. He lived for music, and he lived for this relationship that he had with God. And so we have this richness pouring out of his life. Like I said, Psalm 23 is happening probably when David is in his late administration. 50s, 60s, maybe even early 70s right there. He dies somewhere right in there. I can't remember exactly the age. The Bible gives us his age. But nonetheless, we finally come to this last line in the psalm, and it's the best of all. The shepherd thus far has provided for us. He has guided us. He has comforted us. He's protected us. Tables are spread for us. Heads are anointed. Cups run over. Goodness and mercy are nipping our heels. Then comes the best part. It's not just a temporary ride. We are not just guests of this gracious host. We're his possessions. And he's taking us to be his. In fact, that's all that this is about. All these things that you read about here, be very careful about getting hung up in any of them. I'm not saying you shouldn't revel in them. Oh, yay, look at what God's doing for me. But you need to understand that everything in here is a means to an end. And the end is at the end. The end is the goal. It's just a process that he's having to take you through as he journeys you from a pasture that you were not created for, you're not intended to stay in, to the final pasture where that belongs to him. And as much as his provision is good down here, you need to understand he's providing for you as he did in the children in the wilderness, the children of Israel in the wilderness. He's taking from nothing and creating something. Manna from heaven, if you will. Quail from nowhere. Water out of rocks. That's all that this is. Nothing but a wilderness for us. No sheep should survive in this place. But the reason why sheep are going to survive, only reason, and make it through to the other side is because the shepherd is with them. And that's all this is about. These provisions are nothing but a means to the end. So don't get caught up in them. Don't think they're in any way an end to themselves. David ends this beautiful psalm by effectively saying, that's not all. Our final destination is heaven. Look at what it says, just a glimpse of what that experience is going to be like. He, that is that shepherd, will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or pain or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. As best as this life can be is an old order of things. That is a thing that's passing. It's all dying. You're not experiencing a single thing that isn't dying. This is your first and last time through this. This is a dead world. Let me ask you something. Who wouldn't want this? Who wouldn't? Why, if this is the future of a sheep, why wouldn't the sheep wake up every day saying, maybe today? Who wouldn't want this? Yet I can tell you, the average Christian, if I said, guess what, maybe today you get to go to heaven, they would say, I don't know about that. Why do they act that way? Why are we like that? I've already told you why. Dumb. Dumb. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. They're more likely, they would prefer to stay in this world in which the Savior is barely getting us through, even though I say barely. He's providing for us 100%, but there is nothing here to draw on. There is no life here. We prefer to stay in these dead environs as opposed to go to be with Him. Given the option, let's just say the Savior stands right here and He's got a card and He'll punch your card for you and give you all the credits of what you would otherwise accumulate if you continue to live past this day. Make all the ends meet, if you will, in your life. Get everything reconciled in your life. He just simply punches a card and He says, I'll take care of all of that. He'll send an email out to all your kids and grandkids saying, I love you, goodbye. How many would do it? Most of us say no. Why? Just a question, because it's in me too. My question is why? Why not? You may not see anything wrong with it, but let me reason. Let's just reason together. So you're not excited about. You're scared of going to heaven. I mean, isn't that ridiculous? I've already told you those sheep are ridiculous. They just are. They're ridiculous creatures. Have you ever heard the phrase, staring like a calf at a new gate, right? Well, nothing like a sheep. Sheep would rather die than go through a new gate. Absolutely rather die. Even though everything possibly on the other side of the gate is far better for them, they would prefer to stay on this side, even though there's nothing for them over here, because they don't want to go anything. Sheep don't do anything new. Aren't you just like a sheep? I'm just like a sheep. I don't want anything new in my life. I don't want a single thing to change. And we are like that from birth. In fact, we're like that before birth. I'm going to show you that in a second. We're just like that. Typical sheep behavior. Sheep are scared of anything new, no matter how much better for them it is. It's just the way they are. They are so thick. So I want to preach to you as I have been, you bunch of sheep, preaching to myself. So we get to go somewhere where we're not sick anymore. We get to go somewhere where we're not limited anymore, not worried anymore, not stressed anymore, not fearful anymore, not sad anymore. We get to see every day the face of the shepherd that has been guiding us all this time that we have never seen once, not even once. And we're not ready to go. Something's messed up about that, y'all. I'm telling you, that is messed up. That is a huge problem. I mean, I got myself some real issues if I'm not ready for that any day. Clinging to what? Holding on to what? What do I have down here? Clinging to cheap and fading things in the sinful world, holding me back because no matter how terrible it is, I'm comfortable with it. You know, one of the most horrible things going on in our world today is abuse, physical abuse. Obviously, parents towards children, husbands towards wives. And I guess you ladies are beating up the men. I don't hear a whole lot of it. You need to get something. I'd recommend a gun or a board or something. They tend to be bigger than you. Typically, it's the other way around, though, right? Well, here's the question. As horrible as it is, why is it that on the average, a battered woman will go back to her abuser? No matter how horrible he beats her up. Doesn't it seem just a totally, but it's not 80% of the time. It's not 90% of the time. You can't hardly stop them. And we stand back in judgment of them because we say, how can you be so dumb? I mean, that girl, he must have truly beat the sense out of her because she doesn't have any. And yet, first of all, you're not where she is, so you don't really know. But secondly, you are where she is, even though this hasn't happened to you, because you would think, you know, you fool me once and that's on me, but you fool me twice, you know. But how many, anybody been fooled twice? 10 times? Don't sit in judgment on other sheep. Be very careful, because we're just like that battered woman. The reason why she goes back, is even as bad as it is because it's what she knows. It's what she knows. And I'm telling you, as people which are just like sheep, we prefer what we know, even if it's terrible, over what we do not know. The only thing worse than what I'm currently experiencing is what I've never seen yet, just like a sheep. You will have to tie them up and drag them through a new gate. You cannot get them to go. I don't care what it looks like on the other side. They will not go. They will not. It's like a child in the womb saying, no way am I leaving this place. I got it good in here. It's warm in here. I'm well fed in here. I get to sleep in here. I get to do all that kind of stuff. You have to make them, don't you? And they come out mad. Like I said, from the very beginning, because of our sinful nature, we don't know what's best for us. We never accept. We never naturally, we will not accept what's best for us. We will always fight it. It's just who we are. It's our sheep nature. There's coming a day in which that's going to be removed, but it's not today. We even approach the 23rd Psalm with it. We read it as dumb sheep. Because we revel, if you will, in all the things that the shepherd's providing for us in this temporary here and now, and we get to the end, it's almost like, and yeah, he's going to make me go back with him. Dumb. All this stuff is to get you over there. You're reading it. You're not reading it as the shepherd does. The shepherd's saying, listen, I am eking out an existence for you to get you to a place of huge blessings. The last verse is everything. Of course, it's predicated on the first verse, right? You don't have him as shepherd, you can forget the rest of it. But once you have him as shepherd, you need to know he's got a destination in mind for you. This is where he's going. This is his goal. This is his vision. This is all that he sees for you. And yeah, you'll have pasture and you'll have water and you'll have protection and you'll have table sets. Of course I'm going to do that. But I'm taking you to a wonderful place. In the forefront of his mind is this place. It's the last thing on our mind. Why? Because we're ridiculous sheep, that's why. What's wrong? Let me ask you this. It's like one caterpillar said to another when they saw a butterfly fly by. Punched his friend next to him. He says, hey man, I don't know about you, but you ain't never getting me up in one of them things. What is the point of being a caterpillar, guys? He missed the whole point. Yeah, if all there was caterpillar, and there was nothing more, then certainly be all the caterpillar you can possibly be. But if a butterfly existence is the purpose of the caterpillar, then everything should be pointed in the caterpillar's mind in that direction, should it not? What's wrong with being a caterpillar? Everything, if the point of the reference is a butterfly, everything, there's not a single thing right about being a caterpillar. Staying a caterpillar, I should say. If the point of reference is being a butterfly. So in that in mind, let me ask you this very searching question. What is wrong with our earthly existence? Everything. If heaven's the point of reference. Everything. There is nothing about this life that's 100% right. The only right thing you have in your life that's 100% is your relationship with God. Nothing else. You don't have a single other thing that's good that God could say, you know what, that's good. Oh, you think it's good. But I told you what you are. Sheep just think, they think it's good because it's what they know. Good is what they know. New is what they don't want, and what they don't want in their lives. It's just the way they are. We so have to learn to get a different perspective. Thankfully, the shepherd has moved us from our mom's wombs, even though we were protesting, every one of us. And he's also going to move us out of this world to the world he has planned for us. He is going to move you. He is moving us. This herd, this flock is on the move. Out of here. We're going. We're leaving. And we're not like the rest of the sheep that are out there who are being decimated. They have a shepherd too. And their shepherd is leading them to slaughter. They have a purpose. They have a goal. There's an end result. There's an end in mind for their shepherd. It's not the same as ours. Theirs is not an everlasting existence. Theirs is an everlasting destruction. And that's all that he sees for them. Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it this way. He says, "Who chides the servant for taking away the first course of the feast when the second consists of far greater delicacies?" We get upset with God when he takes away what we have in this life. He's just saying, listen, I'm just bringing something else in here. Hang on a second. Far better for you. The first course is grace. The second course is glory, he goes on to say. That is as much better as the fruit is better than the blossom. Nothing wrong with the blossom, but that's not the goal. Smell the blossom, but it's not going to last long. The goal is the fruit, guys. Fix your eyes on the fruit. This is where he's going with us. We have a destination. Live for the destination and not for the contingency that's happening right now, to be sure. We regret, who can regret the present world that it passes away when he sees the eternal world of joy that is coming? Well, a lot of sheep do. They do. Let's just think again. Let's reason together. When did you accept? When were you born again? When was that? I'm 50. Some of you have been saved longer than I've been alive. Happened to me when I was 8 years old. I want you to remember that occasion. Maybe there were several occasions in which you rededicated. You're not really sure which one saved you, but somewhere in there, some of you have a very clear picture that it was a night and day difference for you. Some of you more recent than that. Some of you are way, way back there. So it was 42 years ago for me. Long time ago. What I want you to remember about that occasion is from that point until now, you have never been home. Never. Because you became the possession of a different shepherd. And he doesn't live here. I mean, in the hearts of his people, yes. But he obviously is not ruling and reigning here. This is not his domain. His domain is in heaven. Now he's coming here to rule and reign. He's going to come and exercise his authority. But right now he's allowing in his sovereignty a dark lord to rule because that's what we chose. It's just where we are. He's not going to leave you here because this is the domain of the wolf. So he's taking you out of here. He saved you to be his. So from the day you were born again up until now, you have never once been home. How thick do you have to be to not want to go home? Man, that's thick. Man, is that thick. We really got to have some sense talked into us, don't we? You say, well, I don't know, preacher. People wanting to go to heaven, looking forward to heaven every day, it seems weird to me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They're not weird. You are. Because your position is not recommended in the Scriptures. In fact, it says your vision is not fixed on the right things. That's exactly the David's position. Let me show you a couple of things. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, King David writes several things, obviously lots of Psalms. But look at his position. Look at David's position as inspired by the Holy Spirit and recommended to you through the Scriptures. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is David, King David. This only do I seek, he says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. He's not talking about the temple in Jerusalem. There wasn't one in his administration. His son built it. What is he talking about? He was very single-minded about it. I only have one request of God. Maybe today, God, could it be today? Maybe my journey can be over and my trials and all the things that are expecting me, I could finally get my card punched. Maybe, he says, that's my goal. This is inspired text recommended to us as the correct position. So if your position differs with this, rethink it. The righteous flourish like the palm trees, talking about this place where he's going. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. This is where we're going. This is our purpose. This is our destination. Everything else is a means to an end. Old Testament, here's New Testament, Paul. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 5, 6 through 8. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God. What purpose? To be with him. So you were fashioned through the working of his Holy Spirit upon the sacrifice of his Son and communicated by means of your faith. You were fitted, if you will. You were tailored for a destination. It's where we're all going. This herd is on the move. Who has given us his Spirit as a deposit to say, listen, I know we're not there yet, but this is what's coming. Guaranteeing what is to come, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Is that what you want? I said, how thick do you got to be to want to be with him? Or not want to be with him? For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer... Is that you? Prefer... You say, I don't know, those people are crazy. No, you're crazy. This guy's got it right. Prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Well, this is not the death note of a person committing suicide. This is a person who's committed to ministry. He understands the time that God has for him, but he's still hoping maybe it's today. Maybe God will say, you know what? You're done well, Paul. It's over with. He says that confidently, constantly in the scriptures. In the ones that he writes. If I'm going on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? If he had a choice. And if you're allowing the Lord to be a shepherd over your life, you don't have choices. You just do what he tells you to do. I do not know, he says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. There's an occasion when sheep, and Paul was one of them too, have a little sense, isn't it? And that's the sense, guys, when you learn to think like him. He's right. You don't think like him, you're not. You're not. You're missing the whole point of Psalm 23. The bottom line, at least. It is that home for which Jesus has ultimately saved us. Not just so that we could have green pastures and still waters and paths of righteousness and fearlessness and dark valleys. And those are all awesome, but that's not why he saved you. He saved you so that you could be his and with him. So that's really the only thing in the contract. I save you. You come home with me. All the intermediary store stuff. Of course, I'm going to take care of that. That's all it is for him. It's all he sees. Better for us when we see it that way as well. These are simply a means to an end. Jesus hasn't saved me for green pastures or still waters or restore my soul. He saved me to be his. He's going to take care of those things. But he saved me to be his. He saved you to take you home with him. Let me make one more statement in that direction. And hear me clear on this. He did not save you for anything in this world or anything that you can have in this world. He did not. So when you do not get it, do not be upset. Because that is not why he rescued you. He is not failing on his contract. He did not save you for anything in this world or anything that you can have in this world. He saved you to get you out of this world. And if your thinking's right, you should say, sooner the better. Sooner the better. That may rattle some of you, but, you know, build a bridge and get over it. Because I'm telling you, that's right thinking. That is biblical thinking. Psalm 23 thinking all the way. He saved you to get you out of here. So any day that he does that is going to be a good day. And any day that he doesn't do that is when he still has stuff left for us to do remaining here. But being withheld from us is something that's far better. How do you read it differently than that? I don't see how. The amazing thing about Psalm 23 is that any one of these blessings and a home in heaven is available to anyone. I want you to notice what Jesus has to say here concerning his shepherdship over our lives. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Not just the shepherd, he's everything. He's the fence, he's the gate, he's the food, he's the water, he's everything for the sheep. "All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And they will come in and find pasture, and go out and find pasture." So it's not about luck. It's not about, oh man, you've got a blessed life. Well, yeah. But we sort of put, we use the same words, we use the words interchangeably, luck and blessing. We really use them interchangeably. No, it's not about blessing, it's about the shepherd. It's about a person, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it looks good to you, but I need to know something. It's not just I have a better way. I know the one who is the way. It's all about him. It's not about luck, it has everything to do with Jesus Christ. Everything to do with him. A book I would recommend to you in conclusion, that I recommend for you to read, is a book written by Philip Keller. You familiar with him? He writes a book called A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Philip Keller was a sheep rancher in the Northwest. I don't know that he's still alive. Maybe he is. He writes an incredible book that has perspective on sheep and shepherding unlike maybe a few of us who have messed with sheep would ever otherwise have. He managed thousands of sheep, not one or two, not 10 or 20, bunches of them, over a long period of time. He had a very large sheep ranch in the Northwest, and he tells of an experience that he had there and his understanding and how God helped him understand this passage about what it means for the sheep to come in through the shepherd. Obviously, like I said, 23rd Psalm, everything in it is predicated on the first verse, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd." If he's not your shepherd, then none of those things apply. And you only come into him, you come into the sheepfold through him. It's only through Christ, through faith in Christ. How many of you plan to go to heaven? I always get that response. But it's interesting when I ask the next question, I get mixed responses. So here's my question. What's your plan? You know, I find it very searching that nobody plans to go to hell, and everybody that I've talked to plans to go to heaven, but in many cases, no, they don't have a plan. So you plan to go to heaven, but you don't have a plan. Or you plan to go to heaven, and your plan differs than the one who owns heaven. Can we not agree that if my plan to go to heaven differs from God's plan, that I'm not going? I ain't going. I don't care how sincere you are. So may I underline the fact that you better make sure that your plan agrees with God's plan. Because if it does not, and his plan is that you must come in through the shepherd. That is, a Savior who died to rescue you, who you place your faith in. It's not a Baptist doctrine. The Baptists preach it. This is a Bible doctrine. Who you place your faith in, and you trust, and once and for all, permanently, he saves you. He births you into his kingdom, you come in through the shepherd, and you never leave the fold ever again. And I don't mean you don't sin, and I don't mean you don't doubt. That just means it's a purchase. It's an exchange. God exchanging your sin for the price that Christ paid for that sin on the cross 2,000 years ago. If that exchange hasn't ever happened in your life, then I'm telling you, you're not going. You're not going. Philip Keller tells a story of his experience working with sheep and having, like I said, lots of sheep. And he was in an area in the Northwest where there was large sheep ranches. And he said that about himself. He said, I was as much as I could be a very conscientious sheep owner. He said, I cared for my sheep. I managed my sheep. I vaccinated them. I dipped them. I sheared them. I did everything. He said, they were like family to me. I cared for them. They were, I was not in a slaughter business. He says, I was in a wool business. He said, I was into making them live and making them healthy. The healthier they are, the more wool they produce, the more money I made. He said, it was just, and he said, you know, you get this long relationship. You know, if you're, some people are raising steers, you know, and they're, you're in a death relationship with those guys. I mean, they're just eating your grass, right? And then, right, Bill? And then the next thing you know, they're on your plate. Sheep, on the other hand, like my mother-in-law, when I married into my wife's family, she had a cow that had by that time had already had her 16th calf, I believe, and had no teeth. The thing ate, but my mother-in-law made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for her every day, fed her watermelon rinds or whole watermelons. And I think that cow had a couple more calves before she died. But it was a personal pet. You know, this was a pet that, you know, had calves and they slaughtered the calves. But this thing was a pet. This sheep were, that's the way they were to Philip Keller. They were his pets. He loved them. He cared for them. He provided for them. He vaccinated them. He took care of them. He managed them. He said, sheep do not manage themselves. We know all that, right? He said, they'll go to one corner of your pasture and they'll eat all the grass there and they don't have a sense enough to get up and go anywhere else. So you've got to go take them out of there and move them somewhere else. He said, so I would rotate them through different pastures, because otherwise they'll eat the grass down so far that the grass will die and it will not come back if the next rains come through. So you let them get down to a certain level, then you take them to the next pasture, then this grass becomes replenished and move them to the next one, the next one, the next one. Anybody that ranches, this is old hat to you, but the rest of us who live in town may not know that. So rotating, as you would crops, he's rotating his sheep through these different areas. He said the rancher next to me that had almost the same size property did not care in the same way for his sheep. He had a wool business, but he also had a slaughter business. And depending on how he felt on any given day, one may be for wool and one may be for slaughter, you know, kind of thing. And he didn't care for the sheep very much. He didn't care too much for the parasites, didn't care too much for the diseases, didn't take care of them, didn't push them from one pasture to the other. He says there would be times in which they would stay in one part of his pasture, they would eat all the grass down, and they would have nothing left. And like I said, they don't have the sense to know to go to the other side of the pasture. All they would do is stand up against my fence. He said, look across my fence into my lush green grass that I managed real well because I cared so much for my sheep. He said, on occasion, their longing would result in a breakout. So several of them would either jump over or go under or break through the fence. And he said, it was never a good thing. He says, in their minds, it was a great thing. Oh boy, we're getting out of this horrible place and we're going to get all this green grass. The problem about it was, is they were malnourished, underfed, malnourished. He says, when they came from an underfed, malnourished lifestyle into this lush grass that I had provided, fertilized, watered, everything, he says it was devastating for them. They would gorge themselves, and then they would founder. Founder just means they blow up with gas. And no gas X available, you know. They would literally turn upside down with their feet in the air. Well, they can't lay like that very long because, one, they can't get water. Two, they're exposed to the sun. And three, anything that passes by can kill them. And he says, I would occasionally come across sheep from this guy's pasture who would break into my pasture out of lust for my grass. And they would be foundered in most cases. He said, I came across a group of four or five sheep from his pasture that had done that. And he said, I wanted to care for these sheep. He said, I had a heart for sheep. He said, but they weren't mine. He said, I really couldn't do. I wanted to, you know, help them, vaccinate them, nurse them back to health. He says, but I couldn't because they were not my sheep. He says, so I bring a cattle trailer back to where they are. I drag them onto the cattle trailer. I take them through my ranch, all the way out to the highway, all the way down, go into the entrance of this guy's ranch, go back to his stuff. I go in and talk to him. He says, I knew the guy. He's a friend of mine. So listen, I got a bunch of sheep of yours, and he said, they got in my pasture, and they've eaten some of my grass, and don't worry about it. But he said, I wanted to bring them back to you, and the guy said, oh yeah, fine. He says, I'll have some of my guys get them off the trailer for you. He says, okay. So he waved a couple of his guys, and he said, they were in there talking. He said, the next thing I know, I turn around, and those guys are cutting those sheep's throats. And he says, what are you doing? He says, it's just what I do. He said, I don't have time to nurse sheep, he said. And he said they just kind of drug them off to the side until they can shear whatever wool they had on them, and they were done. He said, I came to realize how incredibly important it is for sheep to come in through the shepherd. He says, I am a shepherd. I care for sheep. But those sheep didn't come. They came in through another way. They didn't come in through me. They were not mine. Therefore, oh yeah, they can look over and see how wonderful it is over here, but it's not up to them to decide how they come into this pasture. They have to come in through me, my purchase of them. That's the only way they come in. And if they come in that way, fine. I'm going to give them all the things I can possibly give for them, but as long as they don't come in that way, they still belong to someone else. And he says, honestly, the right thing to do is take it back. Take them back. He says, God so spoke to me about what's happening in our world today. He says, there's so many people who obviously can look over into the life of a Christian, the life of a church that's lived right, and say, man, I wish I could have that. Like I said, you ask for a raise of hands. Who does not want to go to heaven, right? But they have all kinds of weird plans to get there. And guys, they're not getting in the way they plan. Sincerity's not getting them there. Efforts are not getting them there. Religion's not getting them there. They have to come in through our shepherd. Amen? There is no other way. There is no other way. It's not up for us as sheep to decide how they come in. It's up for us to say, I hear what you're saying. I'll have people say, isn't it arrogant for you to say that Jesus is the only way? I said, you know what? I didn't say it. He did. I said, you got a problem with that? You don't have a problem with me. You've got a problem with him. And that's the way it is. We need to always be directing them back to the shepherd, because they're going to have to deal with the shepherd one way or the other, aren't they? They're going to have to deal with him. Prayerfully, hopefully, they deal with him on this side of things when things can be undone. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for the time that we've had together. We thank you for just the blessing, God, of this beautiful psalm. Thank you for speaking to us. God, I pray that you'd rearrange the way that we think. Help us, God, even as we're in the middle of a world that thinks so strangely. I pray that we'd be so immersed in you, in your word, in what you're doing, that you would change the way we think. God, I pray that every day we would wake up and say, maybe today I see my Savior. Maybe today I get the journey could be over for me, maybe today. But if not today, then I'll serve him today. Thank you so much for this time we've had together, God. Thank you for the opportunity we've had just to fellowship together, to worship together, to seek your face, God. Thank you for teaching us. Lord, I pray your blessings over those who will be traveling here soon. I pray, God, you'd watch over them. Keep them safe, God. I pray your blessings over their home churches and fellowships wherever they are. And God, I pray you continue to use them wherever they go. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we lift up all these things. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.